To be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Wasn't that special this morning to see that little girl come and give her heart to Jesus and desire to be baptized? I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than that than when a soul gets saved. I told her when she came forward, the angels in heaven were throwing a party. They were rejoicing. Her name's written down. Amen. Oh, God is good. Well, tonight, as we get ready to preach and share God's word with us, I'd like you to begin to think of someone you know who used to go to church, and they don't come no more. Matter of fact, they used to be so on fire for God, but now they don't want anything to do with God. They might be in your family. They might be a neighbor. They could be your worst enemy. But how many of you would agree with me that it's far better that we all go home to heaven than it is that anyone should wind up in hell? And so I want you to be thinking about that tonight because, listen, this matter is just so important. Friends, I believe with all my heart that the time is very short. This world is ripe for judgment. And we'll be speaking a little bit more about that in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead. But tonight we're going to talk about Christians who were never saved. And so I'd like you to take your Bible, if you will, and open it up to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 10, and be finding verse 27, and when you found that, if you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. Jesus is speaking here. And so you listen close and allow these words to touch your heart tonight. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." That kind of reminds me of the question. You know, everybody likes to say how they know Jesus, but friends, that's never been the question. The question is, does Jesus know you? He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Well, Lord, as we come to this opportunity to hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords again, Lord, help us to understand in this day and in this time in which we are living how very near we are to the end, to the rapture when Jesus comes and time is running out. And Lord, just lay upon our hearts those whom we need to be in earnest prayer for. Lord, just the very thought of hell, of anyone going there, ought to make our hearts break. And Lord, we ought to do all we can to be certain that not one soul would end up in hell. Lord, we need to be certain of our own salvation. We need to have eternal security. And Lord, we can know that we're saved and we're going home. But, oh, Lord, those who play church, those who are like the devil himself who says, "I know God, but, Lord, all they've done is give mental assent." They've never allowed you to come into their heart. But, Lord, there's no greater tragedy than a Christian who was never saved. guide us tonight. Touch our hearts in a new way. Give us that old-time religion right from the Word. Give us the truth, Father, straight from your Word. And then let us take that truth and go out into the highways and the byways and to our families and compel as many as we can to come before it is everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen. Now, if the question were asked, is there anything being saved, you would have to be careful by your answer because it's a loaded question. Yes, there is something better than being saved. It is knowing that and being saved and knowing that you are saved. Again, you must be careful because yes, there is. It is being saved, knowing that you're saved, and knowing that you can never, ever lose your salvation. It is indeed wonderful to know that you are heaven-born and heaven-bound. To know that you can have the absolute assurance that you are saved. And that you can know that you will never, ever, ever lose your salvation. Well, you know, sometimes people like to say that eternal security is a denominational doctrine. But I want to go and forget denominations. It is a Bible doctrine. What does doctrine mean? It means truth. We need to stand on the truth of God's Word. That's the end. It doesn't make any difference what denomination a person belongs to if it is not Bible-based. Now we're going to see that the Bible has a lot to say about eternal security. In the Bible, if the Bible says it, we've got to believe it because Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth." And as I've been saying, truth is a person. And so if the Bible says it, we must believe it. And if the Bible doesn't say it, there's no sense in believing it, no sense in discussing it. Eternal security is not incidental, it's absolutely fundamental to your Christian life for several reasons. If someone was to come and ask you the question, "How are you doing spiritually?" how would you answer that? You see, you need to have the assurance of eternal security for your spiritual health. Can you imagine being a little child in a family who does not know one day from the next whether you're a member of the family? You see, perhaps one day you were naughty. You did something you ought not to do. And so now you're no longer a member of the family. And then after several weeks, you repent and get right again. And now you're received back into the family. And you get to say, "Well, there's my daddy. There's my mama. There's my brother. There's my sister. Hey, this is my bedroom. This is my home." And then after a little while, you do something naughty again. And now, that's not my daddy, that's not my mama, that's not my brother, that's not my sister, this is not my home. Can you begin to picture and imagine what an emotional roller coaster this little child would be in? You would not know from one day to the next whether you are a member of the family, would you? What kind of spiritual health would you have if one minute you're in and the next minute you're out? Here you are, you're in, then you're out. is like a yo-yo. What kind of spiritual health would that be like? Wouldn't be very good, would it? You see, you need to have eternal security, the assurance of it for your spiritual health. Now, and I want to tell you something. I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but as a pastor, as a human being, I don't do everything right. And I've probably let some of you down. And you've been gracious enough and kind enough not to tell me about it. And I thank God for that. But I know that I'm not perfect. And so when I do something, let's just say, stupid, God still loves me. And when I do something good, God still loves me. He doesn't love me anymore when I'm good than when I do something stupid. God loves me. I have the assurance that I'm a member of the family. And sometimes God's got to take me to the woodshed. Sometimes he has to chasten me. Now, I don't like chastening. But what about you? Does God sometimes have to take you to the woodshed? As someone once said, I just like to get a switch and whack her behind. Sometimes that has to happen, amen? But you need this for spiritual health. And you need this for spiritual productivity. You see, there are few Christians who are spiritually productive who do not have the assurance of their salvation and understand that they are eternally secure. Now, why is this? It's because when we know that our future is secure, we can then concentrate on the present. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was built in San Francisco, spanning that Great Bay. It is a marvel, and I got to see that as a little 10-year-old boy. My parents took us out west. And what you may not know is that that's a dangerous, treacherous thing to work on to build that bridge. That's a dangerous bay. And it begins to rise hundreds and hundreds of feet above the icy waters of the bay. The workmen were afraid for their lives. And some of them fell and drowned. In all, 23 people lost their lives building, to accidental deaths, building that Golden Gate Bridge. And management at that time said, "We've got to do something about this." And what they did is they invested $100,000 at that time building this net that would be underneath. And when they built that safety net, it really wasn't any cost at all. It was a great savings because they got the work done 25% faster. Fewer lives were lost because those workmen felt secure. That's why they could work with more productivity. You see, when you're secure, you can work well. They knew the net was there. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. It doesn't matter what happens. I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. Amen? We get so worried about these tents, these bodies. What's happening? What's going on? We get so worried about circumstances. What's going to happen? Friends, we were never meant to be here in the first place. I mean, not forever. This world is not our home. Amen? There's a better place awaiting. When you know there's a better place awaiting, man, you ought to be smiling every day because every day is a great day. You may be one heartbeat from being with Jesus. It's far better to be with Jesus than it's been down here with a boss bunch of turkeys. Amen. Oh, to be with Jesus. I can't wait to be with Jesus. Now, I've often thought when he shows up to take me, I'm going to ask him what took you so long, but I'll probably just be crying. Be quite honest with you. I'll be in awe. But listen. We don't endeavor to keep ourselves safe. We know that we are safe. Safe and secure. Leaning on his everlasting arms. That's a delicious thought, isn't it? That's what faith is. I said it this morning, but I tell you what, I'm on a roll. Forsaking all, I trust him. What a safety net Jesus is. He's got me. And he's got you. And there's, you know, what have I to fear? What have I to dread? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And we all say that. And we all ought to approach each day with joy. I'm saved by the amazing grace of God, and so are you. And therefore, we can be productive with grateful service when we are confident of our future. You see, when you're confident of the future, you can concentrate in the present. Now let's talk a bit about people who were never Christians in the first place. You see, what do we mean by eternal security? We don't mean that once a person joins a church and gets baptized, she's eternally secure, because she may or may not be saved. We're talking about somebody who has become a divine, a partaker of the divine nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A very distinct thing happens when you come to know Christ. A transformation takes place. If Christ lives in you, you can't live like the old person, even if you wanted to, because Jesus Christ has created you a new creature. The old has passed away, and as the Bible says, behold, all things become new. Now listen to me, if you're still walking in the same path you were walking before you got saved, you probably aren't saved. And you need to get saved. You probably got it up here, but you don't have it here where it counts, because if it's here, you will change. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now, we're talking about somebody who is heaven born. They have a new birth. We're talking about a person who has genuinely become a child of God. Now, out there in this world today, you will hear people say something like, well, I know somebody who used to be a Christian, but they's no longer a Christian. They's backslid. Well, friend, I'll tell you something. I don't believe in that, because we don't slide into heaven in the first place. And because we don't slide in, we can't slide out. And so if you think you know somebody who used to be a Christian and is no longer a Christian, have you ever stopped to consider that maybe they were never a Christian at all? Now, we're not equipped to judge. But let's look at this. Because many people look like Christians, they act like Christians, never been saved. And an interesting verse is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. And Jesus is talking about the final judgment in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 22. And he shares, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And so Jesus is talking here about some preachers. He's talking about some Sunday school teachers. He's talking about some ushers, deacons, you name it. And then he says in the next verse, and then profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that's sin. In other words, this individual has a continual lifestyle. They continually practice sin. They don't practice righteousness. Now, note what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, oh, you had it and you lost it. That's not what he said. He says, I never knew you. You say that person used to be a Christian and is no longer a Christian because you preach, you saw him sing, you saw him do all these wonderful works. But friends, they didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. Now I want to share with you a verse that stands in contradistinction to Matthew 7. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, what, church? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now I want you to note what Jesus says here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they are doing what? Following me. In the Matthew passage, he says, I never knew you. And this time he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see the difference. There are some people who are religious, but they've never been saved. And then there's others who are saved, and they're never going to perish. Well, those who fall away were never truly saved. Well, am I right on this? Does the Bible teach? Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and just go over to the Gospel of 1 John. Just go right on over there. 1 John, and be finding the second chapter in 1 John. And let's see what Jesus has to say. Let's see what the Bible says. You see, 1 John 2:19 talks about those who begin in the faith for a while, and then they go away from the faith. And this verse explains and teaches that what we're saying is correct. The Bible says, now you see it there in 1 John 2:19, everybody there, amen? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now these people start out with God for God. They continue a while, and then they go back to their old ways. You know something about a pig? You can take a pig and you can wash it up. I mean, you can get that pig sparkling. You can take her to the county fair. You can put her in the show. She can win the blue ribbon, has the most prettiest pig there ever was, but when you take her back to the farm, do you know where that pig goes? Right back to the waller. Peter put it this way, this is really not a pretty picture, but he said, as dogs return to their vomit, which always made me wonder why people let dogs lick them, but that's another story. Somebody says they lost their salvation. No, they didn't. God says they went out from us because they never had it in the first place. That's what the Bible says. Had any of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. And this helps us know that a faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. And you know, there's a lot of people today who start out well and they finish poorly. There is a man in the Bible that was a friend of Paul's. His name was Demas. And Demas started out well. But then Paul says of him that he went back to the world. And I have no doubt that when Demas came to the end of his days, there he was before the Lord. And he said, "Oh Lord, don't you remember when I was with Paul? Don't you remember how I supported Paul? Don't you remember how I told Paul that I'd received Jesus? Don't you remember the things Paul and I did?" But what did Jesus say he's going to tell him? "Away from me. I never knew you." Now, friends, without a doubt, you've got family members who started out well. They were going to church. They were involved in the church. Now, I've got some like that myself. And my heart breaks and I weep for them daily. I'm scared for them. And I'm certain you're scared for yours too. You see why we need praying? Because there's still hope. The rapture has not come. There's still hope. You see, they've all heard the gospel. They know the truth. They've got it up here, but it's not reached down here yet. They'll give mental assent to it. They'll agree with it, but it hadn't touched the heart yet. And that's why they're not here. And you all know they ought to be here, but they're not here because they went out from here. Why did they go out? Because they were not of us. They weren't saved. And that may be hard to hear tonight, but that's exactly what the Bible says. And I've got family members like that. And this again is why I urge you, we need to be praying fervently. You see, before the rapture comes, we can remind God it's not your will that any should perish. Oh Lord, wouldn't it be better to have just one more voice to praise you for all eternity than they should go off to hell and understand they're walking themselves there. Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But a man walks himself to hell because they reject the truth of God's word. They're religious, but they're lost. If they were Jesus' children, they would be doing what? They would be following Jesus. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," and they what? That's why you're here tonight, by the way. You came because you have a desire for Jesus. You have a desire to follow Jesus. Listen, you didn't come to hear preaching. You didn't come because of the piano or the music or anything else. You came because you want to follow Jesus. And if you didn't want to follow Jesus, you wouldn't have come to praise the Lord in song tonight and to hear the word of the Lord. And so there's being one of these. Because you know the world in which we're living in. Everybody says they know everybody, right? Oh, I know them. I know them. It's never been the question. The question is, does Jesus know you? And Jesus knows you because you follow him, and if you don't follow him, he don't know you. You see, it's so simple. Can you imagine being one of these and you come to the end of your days and you're just walking into the give an account and you stand before God and you say, oh God, don't you remember when I was baptized? Don't you remember when I walked the aisle, talked to that preacher? Don't you remember how everybody was happy I became a member of Green Valley? And don't you remember that? Lord, I'm saved. And maybe the Lord will say, well, how come you didn't follow me? And you're not going to have an answer. Because all those excuses we gave down here won't cut bait up there. And then he's going to say, away from me. I never knew you. And then there you are in hell, and it's forever. There's no second chances. There's no getting out of hell. And the tragedy of it all. Because it didn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. A faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. How many people do you know that have a flawed faith? Now I want to share with you why I believe in eternal security. Because it's God's determined purpose. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Philippians, if you will. I know I got you jumping around tonight, but it'd be all right. Philippians chapter 1, and be finding verse 6. And you help your preacher out tonight. When you get there, you say amen. Now he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and the book of Philippians is a book of joy, and Paul was confident that what God starts, God finishes. God is the one who saves us, friends. Salvation is the work of God. It is not do it yourself. Salvation is the work of God. And when God begins a work in you, he sees it to completion. Who began the work? The Holy Spirit of God. He was the convictor. Do you think you were convicted of your sin by yourself? No, you weren't. Even if you think that thought, you're wrong, because the Bible says there is none that seeks after God. God is the one who ran you down, and if God couldn't run faster than you, you wouldn't be saved. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Not only was God the convictor, but God was also the convertor. He is the one who opened our understanding. He is the one who removed the scales from our eyes, got the stops out of our ears, so that we could both see and understand what the cross is all about. And it better have been God who done it, because if somebody can talk you into something, understand this, somebody else will talk you out of it. But anything that the Holy Spirit does is permanent, and it is yours. He was the convictor, he's the converter, and therefore he is also the completor. You see it there. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture of the church. The day of Jesus Christ. A day is coming when the shout's going to come, the trump's going to sound, heaven's going to open, and we're gone. Hallelujah. Allow me to share a story I heard one time. And Jimmy went home and he said, "Daddy," Billy says, "his daddy's got a list of men he can whip." And he says, "on the list." And Jimmy's daddy went over to Billy's daddy's and knocked on the door. And Billy's daddy opened the door. Jimmy's daddy said, "I hear you got a list of men you can whip, and my name's number one on the list." He said, "That's right." Jimmy's daddy said, "Well, I don't think you can do it. What you going to do about that?" Billy's daddy said, "Well, I'm going to take your name off the list." But friend, God never has to take our name off the list. When your name's written down in heaven, it's written down forever, because God never starts something that he doesn't finish. And so you see, even in our lifetime, we understand those who are God's and those who are not. You're here tonight because God's not through with you, but his Spirit is working in you. Amen? And those who aren't here, those who used to be here and left here and no longer want anything to do with the church, the reason they're not here is because God never started anything in them in the first place. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Now, if you've got other things that you're doing, if you're always running into the world, you're always chasing after Satan, or chasing after this, or chasing after that, you're not in the hand of God. Because when you're in the hand of God, no man, no thing can get you out. You're his. Because he began in you, he's going to see it to completion in you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, if salvation is my work or your work, it's probably going to run out in a ditch somewhere. But if it's God's work, it'll be completed. Isn't that wonderful to know? Oh, man. It's absolutely wonderful to know, to have the blessed assurance. You see, I know I'm saved. And you can know you're saved because God began to work in me. And God began to work in you. And we can both say tonight, God, he's still working on us. Because if we were where we needed to be, we'd be with him. Amen? Now one day, we're going to I like to say we're just a bunch of turkeys baking and loving, but one day we're going to get out and fly like eagle. Amen. Oh, give me them eagle wings. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. And, oh, Lord, what a blessed word it is, because without doubt, Lord, many people have questions because we hear things, well, you just don't know my heart. And we hear things, well, like I'm doing this. And it's always pointing to something other than the Savior. And sometimes we get torn because they're our family and we love them. And we don't want them to go to hell. But Lord, your word is so plain if we just look into it. And Lord, to those who are truly saved, they're following you. And those who are not following you. So simple, a child can understand it. Lord, perhaps there's one here tonight who's never been saved. They've said they're saved, but the word has been opened and your truth has come. And tonight they may need to come and pray for salvation. Without a doubt, in this congregation and those online, there are those who know people who are not saved. And, oh, Lord, you've given us this opportunity to come and kneel at the altar and to sit in the pew and to pray one more time. And Lord, let us take advantage of it, because we don't know if this will be the last message we'll ever hear. It might be the last message I ever preach. Let us take advantage of the opportunity to pray, to call upon your great and mighty name. Maybe you're here tonight and God has been knocking on the door of your heart that this is the place you need to place your membership, or you need to be baptized. But, oh, don't let this holy moment pass you by. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.